So, what are the advantages and disadvantages of packaging? Let's look at them. So, packing on pallet. This method of packing tends to be less expensive, significant reduction in packing time because it's very easy. You have to stack the cartons or the bags or whatever is the unitized packages on the carton. Normally, certain edge protectors are provided and then you stretch wrap it. Also, some strapping may be done so that stretch wrapping may not be able to, you know, keep the cargo in place. So, strapping will keep it in place and, you know, there will be no movement or disorientation of the material stored on it. So, provides limited protection against manual mishandling, corrosion damages. Multiple transportation may lead to excessive time as the loading and unloading may be carefully handled. So, pallets have to be handled with forklift trucks or with pallet trucks. So, although we say this that it may take more time, our experience also shows that pallets are easier to handle because if you are, for example, storing cartons directly into a container, then you have to handle it manually. Labor have to, you know, carry it and stack the carton inside. Whereas with a pallet, you just move a pallet with a forklift truck or so, and you can move one pallet containing, let's say, 20 cartons or maybe more cartons depending upon the dimensions at a time into the container. Packing in non-returnable cases. So there are cases, you know, which are designed for the outdoor. Protection levels are good, ease in handling, outdoor storage of the package is possible. So naturally, you know, these are designed for handling of the cargo during transit. They are easier to handle because they are designed that way. Outer storage is also possible because they can be stored outside. They are totally enclosed, so rain or sunshine will not really damage them. This packaging helps the transporter to optimally utilize the capacity as it fits under various volume dimensions. And normally, please understand that all pallets and all kind of this packaging are always designed so that they fit correctly with a maximum utilization of space in either containers or in the road trucks. Because it should not so happen that you have a cargo which leaves a lot of space and then you are not able to utilize the 100% space within a container. So, higher level of protection against mechanical damages. So, this is the advantage. Being non-returnable and standard, the packaging tends to be expensive. So, you know, you are making it, such that it will not damage the cargo against even natural elements. So, it's bound to be expensive. And since it's not returnable, it's a cost. Packaging in returnable cases, so you have higher level of protection against mechanical damages. Ease of handling, economical, more or less same as non-returnable one. Economical because here the packaging can be reused over and over again. Unlike in case of non-returnable, which is a one-time kind of a use, because if you're shipping the material thousands of miles away, it may not be feasible to bring it back again unless, you know, somebody is going to utilize it for storing some other material and then ship it back to you. economical, environmentally friendly, as there is a possibility of reuse because you're constantly reusing it till the life of the secondary packaging is over. Safe protection against, and we come to the limitations or disadvantages. So, expenses on the logistics from return of the container cases can increase because the return freight will be very expensive. And, you know, generally it's like a road tanker. You fill the material and you send it. But if it does not have a return, contract, then it has to come back empty. So, that is the cost. Same is the case with IBC. IBCs are used for liquid. They generally have a capacity of 1 ton of water. So, you send the material, if it's on returnable basis, either you have to you know, get somebody else to fill in another material that you require and bring it back. But of course, there is a lot of steps involved in between, because they if it's a different material which you're getting it back, they have to be completely washed, etc. And that may also have its own expenses, because when you wash any chemicals, the effluent which is generated, the cost of processing those effluents also will add to the cost of you know, reusing the IBCs. Container packaging. So, safe protection against various kinds of mechanical damages tends to be less expensive. Outdoor storage span is limited, as the container needs to be returned to the shipping company. So, the shipping containers, very safe. They are generally all packed. The doors also have got gaskets. So, you know, there will be no water ingress or so. But the thing is, you know, you have to return the containers to the shipping company. Normally, most shippers will give you 14 days detention free, which means that once the container lands at the port, you have 14 days time within which you have to clear the container, take it to your premises, empty the container, and then you have to submit or, you know, return the container to the container yard or depot. All this has to be done in 14 days. If you do not do it within the 14 days, then there will be certain detention or demurrage charges which will be there on the container, which are quite heavy. So, you cannot actually use it for a longer period of time. Only this 14 days or whatever you have, that is the time which is available to you. This limitation can be overcome by procuring own containers in which the packaging can be maintained for outdoor storage purpose. So, some companies I have known, what they do is they buy the old containers. Shipping companies, you know, when the containers become old, they start corroding or so, they stop using the containers, because container which starts to corrode, the failure can happen while it is being lifted with a gross safe load, safe working load. So, what they do is they refurbish these containers and they use it as a temporary store. I have known one of our affiliates also, who used to store the dangerous goods within their premises, and this I'm talking of Europe. So, they had these refurbished containers which were there within the premises, away from the regular warehouse, where the dangerous goods, you know, used to be stored. So, that could be one method. But if you want to actually buy your own container for shipping purpose, it can be very expensive, because you have to then track your containers to the country they go, and then you have to also ensure that they come back to you. So, understanding the consequences of badly packed cargo. So, evaluate the potential injuries to personnel and environment. So, like I said, you know, if your container is not loaded evenly, the center of gravity is not in the center, but it is at one of the ends, then the equipment which is handling it can actually meet with an accident, and the liability can come on you, because if you have violated the standards of packaging, then you are liable if the root cause is found to be the way the container was stuffed, or if it was not properly lashed, the dunnage was not correctly used, because of which, you know, the loads actually slid on one side, then that again will be, the liability will be on the seller. So, understand the implications of potential damage to the transport vehicle. Understand the issues and challenges with the cargo. So, as I said, you know, if it is not evenly distributed, you can have difficulties, or, you know, even possibilities of incidents at various points during the transportation and handling. Evaluate economic consequences related to the cargo damage, because your own cargo also may get damaged, and also if they find that, you know, the cargo is damaged because of your carelessness, certain insurance policies may not actually cover the damages. So, that is another risk. Understanding the liabilities, different parties involved in cargo transport, the packaging role and responsibility of each party can be different. The sourcing manager needs to be aware of the legal responsibilities involved, goodwill responsibility, and quality assurance. So, as I said, you have to be aware about your liabilities in case something goes wrong, some accident happens, simply because the packaging was not correct or the stuffing was not correctly done. Your goodwill also can actually get affected if you do this, because you can be blacklisted. And every time you send a cargo, the shipping companies may look at it very, very suspiciously. Principles of cargo packaging and transport, transportation packaging, dangerous goods. So packaging should ensure prevention from sliding. I mean, this is true for all the cargo, more so for dangerous cargo. The packaging should prevent from tipping. So tipping is, you know, where it will actually tip or topple. That means either it will lean on one side, because even in a container, we have seen incidents that if the pallet tips on one side, the entire cargo gets disoriented and it gets tipped on one side. It can be a very daunting task to actually, with a forklift truck or so, remove the material out of the container. And sometimes you have to break open the pallet inside the container and then, you know, unload the material. And if it's a dangerous cargo, it also needs a lot of care, and I would say it incurs additional cost. Packaging process should consider the influence of friction. Awareness of the regulations for transport of dangerous goods. So we saw that IATA and IMDG, these codes and these regulations have to be very strictly followed. Also, awareness of the regulation. What happens is, whenever you are transporting a dangerous goods, you have to declare it upfront with the airline or with the shipping company. Most shipping companies will actually scrutinize the MSDS, the material safety data sheet, and they will inform the destination port whether they are okay with such a material coming into the port. So sometimes even the local government or the local authorities are involved. And the in case of airline, the kind of dangerous goods also will be analyzed by the airline. So there are some categories which can be handled in small quantities on a passenger airline. Now, if the quantity is big, then even the airline will actually choose to put it on a cargo plane. And if it's a toxic material or inflammable material, etc., then in some cases, the airlines may even refuse to carry the cargo. There may be special services or special airlines or cargo services who will be then willing to carry this kind of DG goods. But then the costs are very, very high. And, you know, they will be carrying it essentially on aircrafts which are essentially cargo. Understand various definitions and packing regulations. So, for example, you know, for DG goods, you have to have the IMDG certified packaging. Now, in India, if you look at the Indian Institute of Packaging will certify the packaging for DG goods. So, when you have to certify a packaging, you are supposed to provide the MSDS and the packing material that you are going to use. This you have to furnish to IIP, and IIP will then test the packaging material under different conditions, at different pressures, drop test and various other tests, to actually see whether your packaging is worthy of handling or transporting the DG goods. And once they have certified it, they will give you a certificate which is valid only for a limited period of time. If I'm not mistaken, it is only 6 months. So once you get the certificate, you will also get a UN number along with this certificate. And this UN number has to be printed on the packaging whenever you are packing and transporting this material. So for DG goods, even the airline or the shipping line will check that the material is packed in a UN packaging and they have a copy of the UN certificate. So the IIP certificate which you have for you know, transportation or packaging of this material has to be furnished along with the cargo. So these regulations are very important. One must understand, if you hide this information or if there is an untoward incidents, then you can be prosecuted for criminal, offense. So, packing, separation, and securing, labeling, and placard information transfer when transporting dangerous goods and understand the liability. So, we already discussed this, that one has to understand what are the liabilities. The labeling, etc., also has to be done. You know, there are hazard labels which tell you that this material is actually dangerous to aquatic life, or this material is toxic in nature, or it's an irritant, or it's inflammable, or it's carcinogenic. And these, you will see that there are square labels which are put in the form of a diamond. That means the points are, facing east, west, north, south. And these actually indicate the nature of the cargo. So, the labeling has to be, very carefully done. MSDS has to be provided. Even when we are locally transporting this kind of material, there has to be a TREM card which has to be carried by the driver. So, in case there is any incident, the TREM card will actually tell the concerned authorities how the spillage or the material has to be tackled, how it can be handled, how it can be disposed of. So, coming to the illustrative general guidelines on packaging, and here we are going to take the FedEx Express guidelines. So, use of corrugated boxes for gift articles, etc., for shoes, gift boxes. So, material which generally are not fragile, they have to be packed in corrugated boxes, because the corrugated boxes naturally offer some kind of a cushioning, because they are multi-layered. They can be 3-layer, 5-layer, 7-layer, and if you punch it or so, it will actually absorb the shock. Using double wall packaging for heavier items. So, if the items are heavy, then you need to have double wall packaging. Position bottles that contain liquid upright. Use an inner seal and perforated breakaway cap. The inner packaging must be able to contain the leak. So, what we discussed even for the air and sea, same thing applies here. You have to clearly mark which side is up. That means the bottle, etc., should never be stored with the cap down. There has to be an inner cap. So, you must have seen that in a lot of medicines and a lot of other, these hazardous liquids, there is a inner lid also. So, when you open the lid, you will find there is another lid which is there, which you need to remove. This acts as a extra, protection against leakage. And in the event there is a leakage, then the material which is used as a packaging material, which actually absorbs any shock, but also absorbs if the material actually gets leaked. So, place items that might be damaged by normal handling, such as soiling, marking, or application of adhesive labels, in a protective outer box. So, if the labels, etc., can get soiled or damaged, then the identity of the package can be lost. So, what normally we do is, I explained that on pallets, you are putting the label on the cartons, okay, and then you are strapping it, and then you strap means you use those nylon straps or the steel straps, and then you do the stretch wrapping with the stretch film. So, the film acts actually to protect the boxes. The boxes will not get soiled, the labels will not get soiled. So, you can have this kind of a protection. So, continuing with the guidelines, for odd or irregular shaped items, at a minimum, you should wrap and tape all sharp edges or protrusions, common sense. And enclose an extra label, business card, or letterhead with the shipper's address and phone number and the recipient's address and phone number inside the package before sealing it. So, in case the outer box, due to some reason, gets damaged, or so, at least if the details are available inside, it can be delivered to the destination, and the identification of the parcel can be done. Remove all old address labels from reused boxes before shipping, and make sure there are no holes, tears, or corner dents in the outer box. So, many a times, the companies, what they do is, the parcels that they get in boxes, etc., they use the same box. But one has to be very careful that any old labels, they have to be removed, so that, there are no misunderstandings, and people do not misread while the parcel is being transported. So general packing method for single box packaging. So ship non-fragile products like soft goods inside a sturdy outer box. So soft goods, you know, could be things like soft toys also, which are generally cannot be damaged when you say non-fragile, right? But they have to be packed inside a sturdy outer box so that, you know, they don't get compressed or they don't get deformed. Use fillers like crumpled newspaper, loose fill, peanuts, or air cellular cushion material such as bubble. So, you know, to fill the void in case, you know, the outer box is not exactly the same dimension. You also don't want the product which has been packed inside to move. So, you need to fill the voids, you know, with a filler material, with, you know, this thermocol peanuts which are there, or, you know, the air cellular cushioning is, you have the polyfilm with, you know, those blitzers on it. So, you actually fill the void either by wrapping the material in this kind of a plastic sheet or so, or filling it with the absorbent material. Wrap to fill void spaces and prevent movement of goods inside the box during the shipping. Again, common sense. Place goods that might be affected by dirt, water, or wet conditions inside a plastic bag. So you must have seen that, I mean, in case the material is susceptible to, you know, it can become wet or it's sensitive to moisture, it will be also packed in a plastic bag which is sealed. You must have seen how laptops, etc. are shipped. So they are first actually wrapped in a plastic bag or a sheet, and then they are put in with the cushioning material inside the carton. And of course, then there will be a tertiary packing also on top of it. So that's how you're supposed to do it. Consolidate small parts or spillage granular products in a strong sealed container, such as a burlap or a sift-proof plastic bag, then package in a sturdy outer box. So naturally, you don't want to pack anything which is loose. If there are small parts, etc., they have to be put in a plastic bag, or burlap is something like jute. You can pack it in this kind of a packaging and then put it in the secondary packaging. Use the etch taping method for sealing your package. Very simple, you know, you generally for a box, you the flaps are there, you put a tape on the flap, and then you also put tape on the sides so that, you know, the box is completely sealed and will not open easily on its own. So we are looking at the box in box packaging method. Wrap products individually with at least 2-inch thickness of air cellular cushion or foam material to fit snugly inside a corrugated box. So again, you know, if there is no scope for movement, there'll be no damage. Even if it's a fragile material, once you wrap it in a cushioning material and you secure it so that it cannot move inside, you will be restricting the damage. Restrict product movement inside the box using filler like crumpled newspaper, loose fill, peanuts, or other cushioning material. Common sense again. Close and tape the inner box using etch taping method, which we already discussed. So this will prevent accidental opening. Use a second box that is at least 6-inch longer, wider, and deeper than the inner box. So you are actually doing the primary or the secondary packaging, and then you are putting it in a tertiary packaging, which is a larger carton or so. Choose the wrap or fill method to cushion the inner box inside the larger sturdy outer box. So again, since we said that the outer box has to be at least bigger by 6 inches, you will again have to cushion it. So you are actually providing two levels of cushioning. One level of cushioning you have provided for the individual product. The second level of cushion is for the inner box and between the inner and the outer box. So even if it's the box gets thrown about, etc., you can be rest assured that, you know, your material will not get damaged. Ship fragile products individually, wrapping them in a minimum 3-inch thickness of cellular cushioning material. And here you will see that for fragile material, the cushioning material are much more advanced, sophisticated. So instead of simply using, you know, the wrapping thing, you sometimes have foam and you have molded foam, which is actually molded to the dimension of the product so that it fits right inside. And even with high level of shock, you know, it will protect the product from any damages. Wrap the inner box with 3-inch thickness of air cellular cushioning material, or at least 3-inch of loose fill peanuts or other cushioning material. So, in addition to the primary packaging, even the secondary or tertiary packaging, you again need to cushion it so that in case of any impact or drop, the G-force which is coming on the material or the product will be reduced substantially, you know, and the chances of damage will be very low. Fill any void spaces with more cushioning material, common sense. Use the edge taping method for sealing your package, again, common sense. So, sustainable packaging practices, and this example is taken from the Sainsbury case study. Sainsbury is a, I would say, a supermarket in UK. It's a very large chain, and they handle everything from grocery to, you know, vegetables, fruits, meats, a lot of other items. So, let's see what they are, they have to say. So, they say remove lightweight loose produce bags will be removed by September 2019, and September 2019 is already passed. So, they already would have removed this, the lightweight loose produce bags. So, and they would have reduced you know, the consumption of these bags by 489 tons. So, you can imagine, it's something like, you know, what we are saying. We used to have this, the bunion kind of bags, you know, which every fruit and vegetable vendor used to use. This kind of bags which are there are being eliminated. Plastic trays are being removed from asparagus and sweet corn, 144 tons. Cream pots, 114 tons. Tomatoes, 102 tons, carrots, 38 tons, and herb pots, 18 tons. So, these are the volumes that they are going to eliminate. For the plastic trays which are being used, you know, for transportation as well as for display on the shelves. Plastic has already been removed from the cauliflower, organic bananas, easy peeler, citrus fruits, brassicas, and tomatoes. So, what they have done is, they normally have this stretch wrap on top of individual. So, you have a cauliflower and it is wrapped in this kind of a film. So, they have totally eliminated it. Fruits also, you know, earlier they used to wrap it. So, they used to bundle it into 4 or 5 fruits and that is wrapped in this plastic film. So, that has been eliminated and now you can actually pick and choose. So, it is, you know, on display in loose form. Micro beads were removed from our own brand products. So, some places they may be using this micro beads. They have already removed this way back in 2013. Fresh food black plastic trays will be replaced with recyclable alternatives, and that is 6,000 tons by the end of this year. So, fresh food plastic trays, I don't know whether these are for sale or they are only for a display, but these are being replaced with the recyclable alternatives. And when you say recyclable, it could be, you know, you have this paper mash trays that we see here for this eggs, etc. So, it is made from waste paper, you know, craft paper, etc., which are blended together. This can be actually repulped and then recast or molded into, you know, this kind of trays for transportation of fruits and vegetables, etc. And imagine they are going to save 6,000 tons of plastic trays. PVC and polystyrene trays will be replaced with a recyclable alternative. So, again, the PVC and polystyrene will be replaced by this kind of paper mash or some other material which can be easily recycled. Plastic film on fruit vegetables will be replaced with a recyclable alternative. So, where you still require some kind of a protection, there it will be replaced. So, in we saw some cases where they have totally done away with the plastic film, but there could be other products where you still require some form of a protection to protect the vegetables, etc. So, it will be replaced with a recyclable option. So, replace all our own brand flushable wipes are plastic free and compliant with the industry guidelines which are recognized across UK and Europe. We are also working to meet the new fine-to-flush standard in the future while ensuring we do not compromise the quality of the product. So in the past, the wipes that you use, you know, to wipe your hand or wipe your kitchen, you know, the platforms, etc., they have been made plastic-free because whole purpose is that you do not want the plastics to actually go into your sewage water or your wastewater, and it's very difficult to segregate these, you know, even plastic beads, etc. And they are making it compliant with the, you know, fine-to-flush standards, so that normally when you have this paper, even you see the toilet paper, etc., they are designed in such a way that the moment they come in contact with water, they disintegrate. And these are natural fibers, you know, these are the pulp from which the paper is made is a wood pulp. And these are recyclable, also they are, they degenerate. So they are safe for the environment. So that's what they're going to do. They are going to make it compliant with the fine-to-flush standard. Plastic cutlery was replaced with wooden cutlery in food to go, saving 38 tons of plastic. So, you know, there are certain foods which are served where people can buy the food ready to eat and they can eat it. Things like, you know, pastries or it could be even pizzas or so. So, in such cases, they have replaced the cutlery from plastic, they have changed to the wood cutlery so that the plastics can be eliminated. And as you know, wood is again recyclable, not recyclable, but you can say it degenerates. So it's safe for the environment. Coming to reuse, freshwater stands will be available for customers to refill their own water bottles in 326 supermarket cafes across the country. So instead of buying bottles, so every time you buy a new bottle, you are actually using another, you know, this PET bottle. So instead of that, you carry your own bottle and you refill the bottle free of cost. So that way you are not generating any fresh PET bottles and you are reusing your PET bottles over and over again. Customers are encouraged to bring their own containers to meat and deli counters. We also have this here that most of the supermarkets and big stores have stopped giving, you know, the plastic bags. So either you bring your own bags or you have to buy the fabric or the jute bags, you know, at a price and then you use it. So the same practice is being encouraged there to actually, you know, discourage the use of plastics and packaging material. Recycle. A pre-cycle area will be trailed in store for customers to remove unwanted packaging and leave it for recycling. This actually trend started in the US because even for disposal of your garbage, you have to segregate it into glass, you know, any fruit, vegetable, meats, etc. And then any other kind of packaging material like plastics and cardboard and all that. So you had to segregate and then you also had to pay for the cargo for the disposal. So what people started doing is if they went to a supermarket and they bought something, let's say they bought a razor or they bought a toothpaste. So they would remove the outer carton of the toothpaste and only carry the toothpaste home so that they didn't have to dispose of the outer carton and pay for the disposal. So now what Sainsbury has done, they have created an area where customers can actually discard the outer unwanted packaging, which is actually not necessary. Sometimes the outer packaging is more for marketing purpose, for a display purpose, you know. It only adds to the appeal of the product. So you can discard that. And some of these can also be recycled. So like, for example, we saw that they are using this paper mesh kind of a tray for vegetables, etc., then they can be reused again if it's in good condition. Customers will be able to use the recycling facility at further 125 stores, currently 275. So 275 stores already done, another 125 stores they are going to switch for the recycling. Collaboration with others on research to develop new packaging and recycling technologies. lot of research is going into this area as to even for plastic, etc. How do you recycle or how you can, you know, make it eco-friendly? Deposit return schemes are being piloted so that customers can return recyclable packaging simply and easily. So certain packaging which cannot be discarded soon after purchase can be discarded subsequently. That means you actually go home, consume the product, and then you can, things like, you know, we talked about the cornflakes, the outer box you can discard it, but if you have to discard the inner bag, so once the product is consumed, you can come and dispose it off. So innovation in micro-packaging. Micro-packaging refers to the integration of nanomaterials such as nanocoatings and films to form a high barrier packaging solution resistant to light, air and heat. So packaging is basically to protect the material. So as we saw in case of Salisbury, they have to protect the vegetable, fruits or the meat produce, you know, during the transportation. And many cases, you know, materials degenerate when they are coming in contact with oxygen. So instead of using barrier films, you are using nano films or nanoparticle films, which are basically resistant to light, air and heat. Technological advancements in various fields, such as in the healthcare industry, has paved way for increased need of more advanced packaging solutions, thereby fueling demand for micro packaging. So actually the driver in this case is the healthcare and the pharma industry, because there the protection of the drugs and the medicines is of prime importance, and a lot of research there is actually helping the other industries in terms of the micro packaging. Overall, nanotechnology is said to be the future, and therefore it is anticipated that micro packaging will witness rapid penetration in the market in the near future. So right now we are yet to see this in India, but we hope that in future we will be able to see this kind of developments here in India too. Thank you.